Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Bird's Eye View. I'm Jesse Clark, and I'm joined by Mike Walsh. This is the first time, I think I just wrote
that.
The first time I've done full names. Wow, I'm feeling very formal today.
First and last?
First and last. Yeah, government names, people. Government names.
I will say, I just got my, I probably shouldn't talk about this on the air, but just got my child's social security number in the mail.
As long as you don't tell the number.
I won't list it, yeah.
You have to report you to child services. That's negligence
Yeah, you get that document and you're like, ooh, all right. And then you still have yours?
Yeah.
Like your card?
Yeah.
That's just wild to me that I somehow still have that.
What do you mean? Like you haven't lost it?
Yeah, I have that card that I've now had for almost 36 years.
Yeah, and remember, you can't lose the kid's card either.
That's true. Yes. Well, they all go into this fireproof lockbox.
That's smart.
Tucked somewhere in my house.
That's smart. So and breaking allegedly in the house.
Allegedly,
it could
yes.
be in a Swiss vault.
Could be in the shed. Could be buried in the backyard.
Could be buried in the backyard.
Under the
next to the dog bone.
Under the sage plant.
Yeah, no, I...
For instance,
yeah. I remember when I think it was maybe just I was old enough to get jobs and stuff, and it was kind of just a handy thing to have on you, you know?
Sure, yeah, and yeah.
And
yeah.
When I went off to college...
What was your first job?
My first job... Well, hold on, so I was going to say, I just remember my mom being like, here, don't lose it, otherwise it'll be a pain to replace. I was like, all right.
If you lose this, Jesse, you don't exist.
Yeah, pretty much. My first job was... I was... a helper at my temple my family went to at the Hebrew school. That was the first high school job I had. I think
okay.
like consistent one. And then
like altar boy.
No. That's okay. that's the Catholic
different. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
this is like Howard telling me about a naming ceremony the other
yes,
day.
And no, I was
like,
Sunday oh, school. What? Essentially Sunday school. I helped
oh,
out.
Okay. All right. Sure. Yeah.
And then I worked at a go-kart track that was right
nice.
Before college.
Okay.
So I just worked the front desk. And my first college job, I was a summer camp counselor. Actually, okay. I was thinking about this beforehand.
Mid the rounds.
I'm not old.
Sure.
But I was...
my first job was as a radio broadcaster here.
What?
No, no, me? No, oh, no, yeah, my, yeah, I worked at a, under the table, $5 an hour at the,
nice.
Driving range. I drove the cart, around to pick up the balls.
Also, everyone tried to hit you.
Yep. Yeah. I had some friends come and do their best. We had batting cages. I had to unlodge that stuff.
I assume the cart had some cage around it so you wouldn't get
yes,
pegged.
Yes. Yeah. The cart was caged. It would get stuck out in the field sometimes. It was a big burly thing. But it was a lot. It was cool. I did it for 3 hours Saturday, 3 hours Sunday, I think. And the guy would just hand me $15 and I'd walk out. Simpler times. And then, I waited tables for 15 years or whatever.
I mean, if you were 10 years younger, he'd Venmo you.
That definitely didn't exist. We got free slush puppies. So,
now, hey, you know what? $15 and a free slush puppy isn't horrible.
Not a bad perk.
No, yeah. The summer counselor thing, I was just thinking about it because... I was 19, that was summer after freshman year,
mm-hmm.
but I had a beard. And so none of the kids in my cabin believed that I was 19. They just flat refused to believe me.
Okay. Narc.
And they were like, you're 25. You're 20. So I think I even told them I was 21 or 22. I just lied because they believed that they were willing to allow me to be 21, So I was all right, fine. But anyway, now I'm the age that they thought I was, which is just weird to think
Hairy
about.
Guy.
But yeah, so welcome back, folks. This is allegedly a sports show.
Yeah, we need to ease into things.
Easing into things, but it has not been an ease into things week. It has been a pretty action-packed week.
Yeah.
This past Friday, we had Monument versus Pittsfield boys basketball. That was an awesome game. We had on Monday War on the Floor, PHS and Taconic boys basketball. That was a great game, buzzer mm-hmm. beater game. Tuesday we had Hoosick Valley girls versus Wakona girls was a really tight game. We had South Hadley versus Hoosick boys was a really tight game.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsfield girls are still on a roll. Yesterday we had Wakona versus Taconic boys, which was actually a decently close game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a lot of stuff going on. Later tonight, we're going to have Pittsfield versus Hoosick Valley girls, which was supposed to happen before Christmas. It got postponed. And so now it's going, the rescheduling is tonight. It's at 6 o'clock at Hoosick Valley. That'll be an interesting game for Hoosick. So, and then tomorrow we have Monument versus Hoosick Valley Boys. Just a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
a lot of big games.
A lot of inside county matchups that are that we kind of knew were coming eventually. And if it seemed like, oh man, we haven't really seen much of Taconic yet, and now we're going to get Taconic kind of
a bunch.
Bang, bang, bang.
And I mean, same for Hoosick, right? We hadn't seen the Hoosick girls much, and now we got them against Wakona. And now they're going to play Pittsfield.
Yeah, Pittsfield, a couple games this week. Obviously, coming off, I think, Friday. So Friday was the central game. Yep. Yeah, so we haven't talked that. That was kind of a wake-up call to we knew they were good. Could they be a 20-0? Could they be a... I mean, they've been in the Western Mass Final the past 2 years, so beyond that, could they do some damage in D3, D4, or whatever they
are? D3, I mean, to me... It is one of those, like, when you nitpick, you're like, you kind of wish this win was later in the season, because it's not like this is the peak of the season, in game six, and then you kind of fall off. I don't think that's going to happen, but this is certainly a wake-up call for Western Mass. It should be a wake-up call for D3. Mass Live's Kenneth Minoja's at the game, and he tweeted out that that is the first loss to a Western Mass team that the Springfield Central girls program has had since 2020. Like,
yeah,
first time in 4 years. It's crazy.
It's like someone going in and beating Central football.
Right. Well, maybe not quite that.
Very different sport and different variability. But
like, it is still an incredibly impressive win. They won 51-49. I think that's definitely just like that shows how good they could be this year. And yeah, it feels like this should be their year in Class B in the Western Mass Final. It should be their year at least to make a run in D3, right? Because, I mean, their best season in three prior years, their best season was winning a first-round game and then losing in the second round. And usually they lose to, like, the 2 seed just because they're, in that 13-18 range, and so they have to go on the road to play the 2 seed or the 3 seed, and that just sucks.
I will say that's one of the biggest ramification of beating a Central is your power ranking could lift you
through
into a single digit seed, and then you're legit. You're not an 11 hosting a 17 or something, and they've done that twice and lost twice, to be honest.
I think lost
to North Reading twice out here.
So
I saw them two nights ago now.
Yeah.
Tuesday, what is time?
Small one.
They beat
small child.
They beat Chickpea Kind.
A racist
time. It was a rough night. I also woke up, came downstairs, and the wind last night had ripped open my kitchen window, so my kitchen was freezing cold.
How did we open the window?
It's one of those I can
like
see with
slider?
My hands. No.
It has a little handle. You can pull it
you
open.
You spin it. You spin the crank and it goes opens like a door.
And it blew open that. Blew open a crank. Window?
It broke in one of the cranks. It may be broken, but
okay.
That probably affected it, but I went up back, and I don't have like leverage because I'm short, so I like tried to hammer it in with my palm while I was bringing the other child to daycare. It's a long parenting morning. Anyway, Pittsfield girls. Speaking of parenting, they have a new coach, and Christy Conyers seems to be relating with her girls very, very well right now. They are kind of willing to play this style that must just be exhausting. And they play it as well as I've seen since maybe like the teens, late teens Hoosick teams that were winning, that were kind of cranking off 8 straight Western Mass finals or whatever. It's probably at a different level given the size of school and the opponent level, but similar to that where it's they have everyone in the right spot, is very, very capable of doing what they need to do in that kind of full court press, where you have probably 4 girls who are interchangeable on that top, in the top 3 line, maybe 5 girls who could kind of
Summers,
do that.
Castillo, Ellerby, Castillo.
Castillo's even a bit further back.
Well,
but
that's true.
Conyers would be up there as well.
Ray Conyers, Powell.
Desiree Powell. When Desiree came on, I think she played only the second half yesterday, but when she came on, that's kind of when the game got put on the shelf.
Yeah, defensively, she's great.
Yeah.
Defensively,
she's another level of that. And then Madison Stets, Harrelson Castillo have that ability, kind of be the roving monster, we would call it, when we were playing in the kind of middle of the press near midcourt. And those girls up front are just hurrying up their opponent comp yesterday, Colts, so much that balls are being thrown kind of wildly, either into the stands or into the, high enough and slow enough where Castillo can get to them, Stets can get to them, and then it's automatically the other way. Layup, kick out jumper, wide open. Some of the threes that they were hitting were wide, wide open just because things are chaos on the other sideline.
I mean, for Conyers, Christy Conyers, the new coach, I mean, I think two things definitely helped with the transition, which is one, she's been an assistant for the last 2-3 years before this, and she wasn't changing anything up, right? Like, she knew the style of play, she knew what was going on, and so, like, that same kind of full court press that was under Joe
Rascott.
Thank you.
Yep.
I was in my head, I thought Gillespie, and we were talking about Akeem Gillespie before, so that's why. No. No, Joe Rascott. No, yeah. Very different people. It all stays, right? So no one has to learn anything new. No one has to learn a new style of defense or offense. And then also, I mean, if you saw a Pittsfield girls game in the last 3 years, she was the one who was, you know, loud on the sideline, right? Mm-hmm. She was the one who was generally making in-game coaching stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think they're just kind of used to her, mm-hmm. and they know what to expect, and she knows what to expect. And then she, you know, she's talked about she's coached them since youth league and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's just like a very comfortable setup.
Yeah, Rascott was a big practice coach. If you ever went to practice, you would hear him a lot more than you hear him at games. Games, he kind of was a more of a management position for him. They have, it's nothing new per se that you'll go and see them and you'll be like, oh yeah, this is what they've kind of been for a while. It's just
another level.
It's kind of cranking that to 11, and doing it literally for the entire game. I guess until they're up by, if they wind up
30.
By a certain amount.
Yeah.
I think under Rascott, they were kind of in a flow, go full court press, pull it back, do other things. Also, just the complement of players that she has, of athletes that she has, makes it capable to do something like this. It hasn't always been the case there.
Well, we got 3 minutes until a break. What's the game? I tell you what, let's talk about Hoosick and Wacona girls, since
sure.
Hoosick girls are going to play Pittsfield tonight.
Yep.
And then we can talk, and then after the break, we'll talk about War on the Floor.
Yeah.
So I saw Hoosick and Wacona girls. It was a sloppy game. I mean, it, case in point, like there's probably 40 turnovers. You know, it just, some of them were forced, a lot of them were forced, but it was just a lot of, and we talked about the full court press. Both teams were in a press, more of a half court press than a full court, but just a lot of younger players who aren't quite sure how to break the press, aren't quite comfortable when a hand's right in their face and they have to know where to go with the ball. This is, I talked about the thing that this earlier in the year on this radio station, where if you are playing a press, make sure that when you pick up your dribble, you know where you're going, or you will be trapped and your coach will be mad. Just everyone, remember that. And you saw a lot of that, and really it was very much a case for Wacona, because they were down 12-4 at the end of the first quarter. They had a very nice comeback, impressive comeback. Madison McCarthy has been their engine, and she still is, but it was a night where Hoosick said, we're going to take her away at all costs, and they generally did that. And Wacona needed other people to step up, and they got that. Mm-hmm. And Hoosick didn't have other people step up to help out Ashlyn Legere, who had an off night, partly because Wacona did their best to stop her, and Emma Mezwar. And so Danielle Hagmeyer, who is, I mean, I've talked about Drury and Monument having these nice young centers. She looks like a future star at Wacona. You know, good height, seems to have a nice feel for the paint.
Yeah, I think she scored 20 points in a game.
If that was the Palmer game, I don't know if
Munson.
We're counting that.
Oh, Munson Chiang 21 on. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. But yeah, she had 8 points in the fourth quarter. You know, and it was just very like, we're dumping it off to you, and she goes up and scores. And Brooke Harrington was in the clutch. You know, hit a corner three. With, I don't know, 40 seconds left, 30 seconds left to put Wacona up 38-35. And then Hoosick couldn't get a shot. All right, they got a shot, but they were very rushed. In the same way we're talking about Chicopee Comp being rushed, both teams felt very frazzled. And Hoosick in that one just kind of ran, and I don't know if they got the best shot up. But in any case, it missed. And then Harrington gets sent to the line because Hoosick needs to play the free throw game. And she hit both. You know, and that's like that's a really high, because I think when Liz Kay said this after the game, the Wacona coach, you know, you're a freshman, you're shooting a three, you don't know what's going on, right? You're just pulling a three. If you're getting sent to the free throw line, you know time, you know score, you know everything that's happening, right? Like that's a real, like, everyone else is quiet, the student section's yelling at you. Like, that's a very high pressure moment. Yeah. And she nailed both free throws. Very impressive. And that, you know, iced the win, put them up five.
Yeah. And so that's the biggest. I mean, this matchup is arguably the biggest one we've had the last decade or so.
Yeah.
These two teams. Pittsfield's been very good the past few years. And Taconic had a little bit of a moment. But these are two teams that are regularly deep, deep playoff teams. Obviously, the past two state champions that we have out here on the girls' side are these two. Are not Wakona lost in the state final, but teams getting to Lowell, obviously.
Yeah.
These are the two ones, and it's good to see that. Yeah, it's still that, and it's going to kind of continue into the future. Brooke Harrington was, I believe, their best soccer player in the fall, so nothing, I guess, outrageously new that she's a very quality athlete.
Sure. All right, folks, we'll be back here in a minute, so keep it locked on 89.7 and 88.1.
We have a saying: anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
Join us for Up on Taconic, a weekly show that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. Explore the world with conversations including the culinary arts and other CTE programs. Hear students and teachers discuss the importance of reading and also take a look at the vibrant arts culture in the school and much, much more. Join us every Monday at 6 p.m. for these lively discussions right here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR, Lee.
Hello, folks. We are back, and we'll talk a little war on the floor. The big one between Pittsfield and Taconic. This was the first edition of the game this year. They'll play twice. They play each game at the Boys and Girls Club, which I think personally is awesome. I know there's been a little talk about the booster clubs for both teams like it to be at PHS or at Taconic just for gate receipts and revenue and stuff like that. I understand that. But it is such a fun atmosphere at the Boys and Girls Club. The place is packed. You can fit way more people there than you can at each individual high school. I'd say, I mean, capacity crowd at the club is, I think, 1,800. And my guess is there's probably 1,200, 1,300 people there, which is awesome. Big student sections, just a lot of people in general. You got the foot traffic aspect, and it's just a great environment. It was a really good game. It was a little sloppy in the first half, and both teams kind of locked in the second half. It was Bill Hafey, Taconic coach, who said, you know, you could kind of tell, big game, everyone in Pittsfield is there. And you can tell the kids were moving a little quicker than they should have. Mm-hmm. And that's why you kind of had some ball handling issues and stuff like that. And when everyone kind of calmed down, that's when stuff ironed out. But, I mean, and this is kind of when we talk about, like, the big county games, big rivalry games, right? Like, you just kind of get these moments. You know, Cedar Santos had one free throw. That was all he scored. And then with 28 seconds left, he dribbles out the clock, gets into the, you know, around the elbow, pull-up jumper, nails it. That's the game winner. You know, at the buzzer. It's like, that's awesome. That's what they, you know, and that's just such a great moment to cap a really good game. You had Kyle McGrath for Taconic. Taconic won 49-47. Kyle McGrath had 30 points and 13 rebounds. Just like, you know, an incredible double-double. Maybe, you know, he might be the best center in the county. He and Monument's Dom Colludi and Drury's Sam Mormon are probably the top three. And he was fantastic. Pittsfield's Quincy Abley, who did get hurt, so we'll kind of have to wait to see how he returns, but he was phenomenal, and when he was playing and healthy, Pittsfield came back to take the lead and was up 7 at one point, I want to say. They were up 5 at least, and then he got hurt, and that's when Taconic retook control. So yeah, just like some incredibly, some big plays from big players. Great atmosphere, great crowd, and then an insane ending.
Yeah, this matchup it's an opportunity, I guess, for these kids to
show their stuff.
Yeah,
show
and now you know, come out, be, you know, kind of write their name in this kind of at least since I've been out here about 10 or so years now, there's a lot of big names that come to mind when you think of this particular game. I remember being there for a Bryce Daly walk-off jumper. That was a huge, huge, huge moment at that was at Pittsville High, and it was just a complete zoo, packed. And Taconic's obviously had these big guys roll through. Last year's matchups were super, super high key, high level basketball. We're talking two of the top three, four teams in the state. Yep. We're matching up twice in our gyms here. So this one was a bit of a, yeah, I just put it as an opportunity to say, I'm here now. This is me. Kyle McGrath definitely did that. Quincy Abelli did it. Caesar, maybe he kind of left the most lasting impression. And that's just what struck me leaving the gym, was like, oh my God, I didn't know Caesar had that in him. I've seen him play basketball now for 2-3 years. He was, I wrote it in the season preview, for boys basketball, was back when Taconic won that state title. If you remember, three starters were fouled out. Yep. And one of the guys who came off the bench to play those last 26 seconds and defend David Prouty missed three that would have won the game for David Prouty. Caesar was out there.
And Caesar, and I wrote this, or I remember this, was Caesar, he missed a free throw and then went and tied up the David Prouty player.
Actually, he missed
so that forced a jump ball, mm-hmm. and that meant that David Prouty couldn't just like run down the court.
Correct.
And then he defended the inbounds pass, mm-hmm. and the kid, it took like an extra 10 seconds for David Prouty to get it in the ball. So like his coming off the bench, his defense in you know, the biggest game of his life was critical. And then, yeah. And, I think we've talked about this, like he has a penchant, or last year at least, he had a penchant for just driving into traffic and trying to score. And it was often impressive, but there was also the flip side of that being there's three guys in the paint. Why are you driving into the paint and just trying to throw it up like that? Mm-hmm. And he is clearly, he seems like he has a much more disciplined game this year. And like that shot was full evidence to it, because he did not drive into three people. You know, the trap came, the Pittsfield defense kind of came to that point, and he stopped and took what he had and made that shot.
Yeah.
And it was very mature.
Yes, yeah, he's kind of been essentially an energy guy for 2 years prior to this, and they had ball-heavy guys, Sistrunk last year, Sandifer the year before, a lot of guys kind of filling up those shots, and he would kind of come in as a change of pace guy. So that was a big question for Taconic this year. Obviously, we knew what they had in the front court. What does that back court look like, given what it's been in the past? I found it jarring, actually, thought about this earlier, was two college basketball players scored their 1,000th point, both Taconic graduates this year.
Isaac Percy
did as well. So it's a high level of basketball that's been going through Taconic, and that's something I thought earlier in the week, too, was maybe we were sleeping on them a bit. We talked a lot of Monument Pittsfield, obviously, just because they had the matchup and stuff, and the matchup last year, and that was obviously both the early matchup and the late matchup last year, where that was the Western Mass Final.
Right.
Taconic just kind of silently has done this now for 7 years, 8 years. They've been in the mix here at the highest level. Now they're 7-1, and power rankings for MIA come out Friday. I mentioned it to you right before the show. Like, could they be a top four seed? I would imagine very well they could be. Their one loss is a 2-point loss to Chicopee Comp.
I mean, they were the one seed for most of last year, and they finished as the four seed. Mm-hmm. And I could easily see them being a top four seed. You know, it'll depend a little bit on who they've played. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the Pittsfield one's really good. Who else have they beaten?
East Longmeadow, Westfield is a blowout. Minichog.
Minichog,
Amherst
a good
win. By four. Blew out Westside.
All right, so yeah, I'm not sure if they'll get enough power points, but it's still, mm-hmm. like, they should definitely be up there. They've had a lot of double-digit wins. Yeah, it's very impressive. Yeah, I mean, and...
Wakona last night, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, beat Wakona last night. For me, especially, it was also impressive because Pittsfield was up by 13 points at the half against Monument, which we've seen as maybe the best team in the county for most of the season. And they fell apart a little bit in the second half, and a lot of it was just they couldn't beat his own defense. And this Pittsfield team, they are very much a transition team. If they can stay in their scheme, you know, that get up and down the court very fast, they're going to put a lot of points on you, and you're going to struggle to cover them because they have a lot of depth. If you can keep them in the half court, you're going to have a chance. And Monument basically just went to his own defense and Pittsfield couldn't solve it, which is kind of concerning because that's basic basketball, right? Mm-hmm. And if you can't solve that, that's everyone's going to play zone defense against you, and you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. And Taconic did that, and Pittsfield had success. And then Taconic kept switching up their defense. They went to a press, they went to a zone, they went to a box and one, and Pittsfield still was able to move and to get good looks and score until Abley got hurt. But that was at least, it was reassuring to see that, hey, these problems, we're dealing with them in real time, right? We can fix them. And so that's definitely, because we've talked about, you know, who's the next person to step up for Pittsfield now that Mekhi Shepherdson gone. You had 1 year Malachi Perry, which is great, but Nunu Brown is gone.
There was no identity entering the season. It was a blank slate team.
And so, I mean, Quincy Abley looks like a future star for them. I think he not only be a sophomore, which would be great for the future of that program, but, you know, now you're saying, okay, I've got a lot of faith that they can kind of figure out what they're going to do. And that, you know, they're going to play with a lot of teams.
Yeah, a couple losses, but they've been in all these games for the most part. And also, have won some high-profile ones. Obviously, the tip-off with Kyle Cardoso's game winner was enormous. If we could step outside this, I want to get your take, because you wrote a column on the college football stuff.
Yeah. Tonight it's Notre Dame Penn State.
I was just looking at that this morning. From a lifelong New Englander, I've never ever cared about college football.
Sure.
Outside of Marist College when I was there, and I went to some Holy Cross games as a kid with my dad.
That's very.
But I care. Like, I love the March Madness stuff.
Yes.
So this is the first foray for college football into that kind of style.
Yeah.
Did it work? Did they grab that kind of attention?
All right, we have 3 minutes left, so I'll be quick. So I have long been in favor of expansion. I think college football is the stupidest sport in existence because it never had a true national championship. And for a while, it sort of worked because of the votes, and they had like 6 bowl games that mattered. Mm-hmm. And some teams got hosed, but it was fine. And then they started expanding. And anyway, the whole thing's a mess. But I love the expansion.
But it worked.
Okay. The last 15 years, it didn't work.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. So this year.
But this year, they expanded it, and it was beautiful because there's Oregon went 13-0, and they were the number one team in the country, and they kind of looked it, even with some question marks. And everyone else was very good and very flawed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was not a year where you had, like, 3 undefeated teams, and you're going, oh, man, who's the juggernaut? We want to, you know, everyone was flawed. And this was a perfect year to have 12 teams because everyone could beat everyone, and everyone could lose to everyone. Mm-hmm. And
you had kind of the Boise State thing of this mid-major, I guess, or
yeah, but Boise State also had maybe the best player in college football,
right?
You know,
that's kind of your Cinderella-y kind of deal.
Yeah, well, you had Boise State and Arizona State who got byes because they were ranked higher than the ACC champion Clemson, and they had some really exciting players. And I mean, Boise State lost by double digits to Penn State, but they also had 3 trips to the red zone and came away with no points because they shot themselves in the foot. And it's like, okay, they gave Penn State a game. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted. They gave Penn State a game, which is Penn State's now in the semifinals. And Arizona State, which a lot of people were kind of laughing at because they were laughing at the Big 12, they had Cam Scadabo, who, if you're not a college football fan, get ready to learn his name because he's going to be the third running back off the board in the NFL draft. And he is an extremely exciting player to watch. He had 146 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. He had 99 receiving yards, and he threw a 42-yard touchdown. He took over in the fourth quarter. They were down 24-8 to Texas in the fourth quarter, and they pushed it to double overtime. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just this is the issue, because people are going to talk about blowouts as if the college football semifinals never had blowouts before. They had blowouts all the time. And this year, we still had blowouts, but we had more games, so we had more fun. We had, like, just more entertaining matchups, more different matchups. It was great. It was great. I was really excited about it. I will say, as a Northerner, I'm now kind of rooting for Penn State because they're a Northeast team. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to see a Northeast team win. That'd be very, very fun. Hasn't happened in a very long time. Hasn't happened for Penn State since the 80s. So that's probably the last time a Northeast team actually, you know, won a national championship. But yeah, I mean, I think it was great. unfortunately, because, you know, like Alabama didn't make it, they're going to yell and try and make it expand it even more. It should not be expanded more than 12. 12, 12 is the limit.
Yeah, this is, we're already getting into a point where it's a full month. So.
Yes. No. All right, we have 10 seconds left. So in 10, nine, no, we're not going to count down. But thank you all for listening.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We'll be back next week. And have a good rest of your week.